different because, of course, we established a government where the power of the central authority was to be limited. We established a government that was built upon the precept that Plato had put forward in his book, The Republic, where he said, of course, democracy doesn't work. But, of course, his solution was to have an all-powerful ruler who would take care of things because you couldn't trust people to vote themselves. They'd always vote themselves into tyranny. No, we established something different and unique. We established a republic where the power of the government was to be limited. We weren't going to go and follow the path that Plato wanted. We didn't want an all-powerful ruler, but that's what we have today. And basically, this has happened because there's an organized, orchestrated, coordinated effort on the part of a small group of people who hate humanity, who really believe we need a ruling elite. And of course, if you believe that Barack Obama really runs our government, why, you're sadly mistaken. Do you think it's just coincidence that his initial national security advisor, the man who advises him on everything, in fact, the man was General James Jones, and he said he got his instructions on a regular basis from Henry Kissinger. And of course, he happened to come from the Trilateral Commission, as did Henry Kissinger. And then, of course, General James Jones was replaced by a man named Thomas Donilon, who just happened to come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. And suddenly, Thomas Donilon has now been replaced by a woman. Her name is Susan Rice, who just happens to come from the 87 members of the Trilateral Commission. Do you honestly believe we elect our president, ladies and gentlemen? But nobody's going to tell you that. We have a ruling elite. They have an agenda, and it doesn't include freedom for any of us. In fact, it's if you understand where we're headed, why, of course, you'll understand that the America we know is just about to be destroyed. But even more than that, we need to have people understand how we got to where we are. We need to understand our Constitution. And if there is any hope for preservation of freedom in America, it's going to be to get back to those constitutional principles that once made America the envy of the world and the freest nation and the greatest nation the world has ever seen. And with that as a background, Pastor David Whitney, you take over.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stanton. Amen to all that you said there. Our founders were really clear that they distrusted human beings with unchecked power, and just all the scandals blowing up here on a weekly basis, the IRS and the NSA and Benghazi and one after another illustrate that you cannot trust human beings with unchecked power. And it's fascinating to see the response of both congressmen and senators and the president. Oh, don't worry about it. You can trust us. Just trust us. The problem is not with us. Really, they're saying the problem is with you. You people don't trust us enough. Well, the fact of the matter is it's exactly the opposite. We have trusted them too much. We've let them get away with, well, murder, obviously. We've let them get away with robbing our country blind, and it's time to stop it. It's time to return to the founders' design for limited government with checks and balances on anyone who has any power or any office of power or trust, whether federal, state, or local government.
I think it's interesting that recent analysis and surveys have shown that public confidence in Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate is about 10%. That's all the support they have from the people. We think they're incompetent, and yet they should rule us. We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney as we analyze the true source of our freedom.
While a storm.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
you may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest here is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And you need to understand that basically we had the greatest nation in the world. We were a Christian nation. We're a post-Christian nation now. We're no longer a Christian nation, and we no longer have a constitution, which is being ignored by the subversive element that's seized control of our government. And nobody wants to talk about the fact that most of what goes on in Washington, D.C. is frankly illegal and unconstitutional. David, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stannon. Our founders were wary, very wary, to give power. And so one of the big debates that took place after the Constitution was proposed, as the various states were looking at ratifying the Constitution, was whether it was enough, whether it restricted this new government they were creating at the federal level, what they called the general government. We call it the federal government. There were debates that said, wait a minute, this Constitution's good, but it really lacks something. It lacks a Bill of Rights. Now, this idea of a Bill of Rights was not a new thing with our founders. They didn't invent it out of whole cloth. Indeed, it had a long history. It goes back into English history all the way to 1215 with the famous Magna Carta, where King John, a wretched tyrant, abusing the God-given rights of the people in the land of England, the barons, who in essence representing the people, confronted him on the plain of Runnymede, and they won the battle. And at sword point, they told the king, you either abdicate the throne or sign this Magna Carta. The king had no desire to sign the Magna Carta. It meant a surrender of his powers. It meant that he would be under a specific law put down on paper. It would limit his powers. It would cause him to be one who is involved in protecting the God-given rights of people rather than doing whatever he wanted to do as a wretched tyrant. But he had no choice. He either abdicated the throne or signed it. So he signed the Magna Carta, and it became the standard-bearer of liberty as other tyrants who followed King John over the years attempted to tyrannize England. And ultimately, we have the battle that took place in the England that resulted in the Englishman's Bill of Rights at 1689, the Glorious Revolution, in which the people rejected the potential heir to the throne because they knew he was going to be tyrannical, like his father was and his grandfather, and they appealed to another member of the royal family, William, and William and Mary ascended the throne, but only with an agreement that they would sign this Englishman's Bill of Rights of 1689. And look at that date, 1689, less than 100 years from the time of our founders, there was an established Englishman's Bill of Rights, which reasserted many of the principles in the Magna Carta and added some additionally. So our founders, when they were thinking about a Bill of Rights, they had this in mind. Now, there were some of our founders who said, no, you really don't need a Bill of Rights at all. James Madison, father of the Constitution, he said it was unnecessary since the federal government had only limited delegated powers. There would be no need to prohibit government from doing what government has no authority to do anyway. Oh, to the Lord that we would have people in Washington, D.C. who had that same view today. He saw, well, the seven articles we put down as the Constitution, that limits the federal government to only doing the specific things enumerated in that document, only the delegated powers that we the people have delegated to, no more, nothing but that. And Madison, you could say he had an argument, but his argument, I think, did not recognize the frailty of a fallen human sinful nature that is going to tend to abuse any power given to it. Alexander Hamilton, another founder who thought big centralized government was the best idea, he said a Bill of Rights could be dangerous because you could not possibly list all your rights. For example, if you sat down tonight with a pen and paper and started writing down all your rights, you might forget one or two or 10 or 20. And because of that, you might not list all of them. A future government might conclude that the rights not listed in a Bill of Rights were therefore forfeited to the government. Actually, this objection was answered by the Ninth Amendment when we get to look at that, that specifically states that that is not the case with our U.S. Constitution, not the case with our U.S. Bill of Rights.
But I think the Tenth Amendment, too, is basically said, in essence, and any power that is not specifically in the listed list of powers of government, any power that is not specifically given to the federal government is to be limited to the states and the people. And that was the beauty of our Constitution. It limited the power of the federal government by saying, look, unless we said you could do it, you can't do it. It's not that you have to have all your rights listed, although we will have listed certain ones as freedom of press and freedom of speech and freedom of assembly and freedom of religion. But it's amazing how the wicked people were able to actually to twist those words and basically somebody to take this idea that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And that's why we can't, of course, talk about it in the schools today. We can't even celebrate Christmas or Easter in our schools. There were wicked people who had a different agenda. The tragedy is that the churches and the American people allowed them to get away with that back in 1962 in the cases of Engel versus Vitale. And we must never understand that we must never forget that members of the Supreme Court were traitors, they were subversives, and they were the ones, of course, who took God out of our schools and morality out of our schools. And that is why we are a post-Christian nation today. It is because the good people didn't stand up. And if you're out there listening audience and you're not willing to get involved, then you do not deserve to be free. Go right ahead.
Well, the argument between those who were opposed to a Bill of Rights and those who wanted a Bill of Rights, obviously the people who wanted a Bill of Rights won that day. Principal anti-federalists, that is those who are opposed to the Constitution because it lacked a Bill of Rights, were people like the great patriot Patrick Henry and George Mason, Thomas Jefferson, for example, also writing from France. He was actually representing us as our ambassador to France at the time. He said he liked the Constitution, but he regretted that it lacked a Bill of Rights. And then, of course, the state conventions, the ratifying conventions, they were proposing amendments to the Constitution that would compose a Bill of Rights. They submitted many of those, and many of those were duplications of one another. And so as they ratified the Constitution, some of the states said, we only ratify this Constitution with the understanding, the clear promise, that the very first thing Congress will do when it meets in its very first session of Congress is put together a Bill of Rights, pass it, and then send it on to the states for ratification. And they said, basically, we will rescind our ratification of the Constitution unless there is a Bill of Rights. So with that strong agreement, the amendments proposed by the states were brought together. James Madison worked those into 12 specific amendments and introduced them in Congress in 1789. The congressional committees reworked them in some detail, and then Once both houses had passed them, then they sent them on to the states for the necessary three-quarters of the states to ratify those amendments. Of the 12 proposed, that is 12 that passed both the House and the Senate, of those 12, only 10 were ratified by the states in the year 1791. One of the curious questions of history then is, what happened to the other two? Well, let me just mention those other two because they are of interest. One ultimately became part of our Constitution as the 27th Amendment. It basically restricted the process of raising any pay for senators, congressmen. That is, if there was a proposed pay raise that would take place, it could not take effect until the next election. So if the people didn't like the pay raise that the congressmen voted for themselves, they could boot them out. So the election, in a sense, became a referendum on the pay raise the congressmen were voting for themselves. And as I said, initially in 1791, it did not gain the requisite number of votes, but there was a renewed interest, especially in the 90s, and ultimately in 1993, three-quarters of the states ratified it, and it now stands as the 27th Amendment to our Constitution. The other amendment that never did pass was an amendment that dealt with congressional reapportionment. And the idea was, of our founders, and it's clearly expressed in the Constitution as it still exists, that no representation of greater than one representative per 30,000 people would take place. By the way, they thought that was a far too large a number to begin with. For one person in the House of Representatives to be representing 30,000 constituents, that was way too many. There was no way he could know what's going on with those 30,000, hear from them, communicate with them. You know, they just thought that was ridiculous. Well, since the early 20th century, Congress has basically ignored that provision of the Constitution, said, well, we're going to fix the House of Representatives, 435 and no more. The result has been each of the congressional districts has grown 10 times what our founders ever envisioned. Now it's about one representative representing 300,000 constituents. So you wonder when you send a letter to your representative down in Washington, why you only get a form letter back. When you make a phone call, you get an answering machine. They can't possibly respond to 300,000 constituents. And the result is that we are underrepresented as people according to our founders. And so the idea of this amendment that never has passed would be to provide for a reapportionment process that would keep the congressional districts small enough that they truly would be representative of the people. And I think it's a great idea. Problem is, I guess you'd say, our country has grown too numerous. So now that, we would have, 10 times that, we'd have 4,000 people in the House of Representatives. And I don't know, maybe that would not be a workable idea. But what is evident to me is our founders said what we have today is not a good idea, that they would prefer to have this built-in system. However, three-quarters of the states never did vote for that amendment, so it did not become part of our Constitution. But the first 10 are known as the Bill of Rights because they were all ratified at the same time, and they are designed to restrict the power of the federal government. It's like our 7 articles of our Constitution are like a playing field. Let's imagine a football field, and we know the football field has some chalk on green grass there that are the sidelines and end zone and so forth.
Hold that thought.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what we sell. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And David, pick up the story.
Well, I was saying before the break that like a football field with the sidelines and an end zone, but that's only white chalk on green grass. So it's very easy for somebody to step over those lines, those boundaries. So our founders said, we want the field of play of our federal government to be so restricted that nobody can ever go out of bounds. And that's essentially what the Bill of Rights does. It builds a brick wall around the end zone and the sidelines of the playing field being the seven articles of our Constitution, and the ball can't get out of bounds because it's going to hit the brick wall. None of the players, Congress, the Senate, or the President, or the Supreme Court, they can't possibly get out of bounds because the Bill of Rights keeps them within those bounds. And that's what it's designed to do, is to restrict the power of the federal government, particularly in relationship to our individual God-given rights. So when we look at the First Amendment, the very first words of the First Amendment tells us who the First Amendment applies to. Congress, it says. So the subject is Congress. The restriction is on Congress. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. This only restricts Congress. It does not restrict the state government, does not restrict the county government, does not restrict the school boards. Nobody else is restricted here except Congress. Now, we need to understand this idea of religious liberty that is expressed in the First Amendment is really a biblical idea. The Old Testament, there was a separation of powers between the church government, that was always from the tribe of Levi in the temple, and the civil government. The kings always came from the tribe of Judah In the New Testament, likewise, Jesus said, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Matthew 22:21. So, yes, Caesar has a certain jurisdiction, a certain area of responsibility, but it's a limited one. God has all authority. Caesar only has a limited authority over certain areas of life, and his restriction is, Jesus was basically implying, don't give to Caesar that which belongs to God, only give that to God. So if Caesar says, worship me, well, you don't worship him. In the early church, they were thrown to the lions because they refused to worship Caesar. And don't give your children over to Caesar's schools. No, your children belong to the parents and not to Caesar. So there's restrictions on that that are clearly spelled out in God's word. But civil government itself, its authority comes from God. It's derived from God. As the, Daniel 2:21 speaks about God changing the times and seasons, he removes kings, he sets up kings, he gives wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. So God is the one who establishes human civil government. It only draws its authority from him and his law. Therefore, it can do nothing and it must do nothing outside of obedience to God's law itself. Daniel also said in Daniel 4:25, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it, that is the kingdom, to whomsoever he will. There God was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. So we have, and then you go to the New Testament, Romans 13, expresses it very well again, that the civil magistrate is a minister of God, that is to administer God's law, to be obedient to God's commands. That's how Scripture presents this. So all law is based upon a religious persuasion. That's why Sharia law is the persuasion of the Mohammedans. Biblical law was the persuasion of our founders because they knew it's the God of the universe who created it all that gave us his law. His law is given to us in his word, and it wouldn't make any sense. It would be crazy to try to formulate a society and build a legal structure that somehow was not congruent with the laws of the universe. You're like saying, well, 2 + 2 = 5. But you're not going to do anything with that formula. You're just going to mess everything up. It does not work. So they were looking consciously to God's law to say, what does this mean for us and how we put together this civil body politic in this government? So many people, though, will say, you can't legislate morality. And that's really a dangerous half-truth because all morality, all legislation is ultimately legislating someone's morality. When the tree huggers say, oh, we got to protect the spotted owl, well, why? It's their morality that says the spotted owl is more important than the people who are going to make a living off of cutting down this tree. It's someone's morality being legislated. And our founder said, you better get it right. You better get it from the laws of nature and nature's God, which is God's word, the Bible.
I certainly agree with you. And our guest is Pastor David Whitney. And basically, of course, once we turned away from God, God's law, and basically we took God's law out of America. After all, after the wall of separation between church and state, people believe it. We've taken certainly God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and the celebration of Christmas and Easter out of our schools, taking morality out, and look what we have.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest Pastor David Whitney. And before we go on, David, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution and to get a kit so they can begin teaching the Constitution from their own church or from their own living room or from a local meeting hall. And this is going on all across America. The average individual is not going to hear about this because the media in America is tightly controlled, and the last thing they want people to understand is what's really happened. The last thing they want people to understand is our Constitution and that we have subversive elements working at the highest levels of our government who should be tried for treason. But, of course, you're not going to understand what's going on unless you understand the fundamentals of our Constitution, and that's what the Institute does. David, how can people get in touch with you or with Michael Perutka, get the information and begin teaching it to the people in their community as the first step in taking America back?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. We know that it's pretty daunting to look at the prospect of a person teaching the Constitution, so we put together what we call a host kit, that is all 12 lectures or DVD. Student manual has a detailed outline of each of those lectures with test questions and supplemental reading, the homework that they're going to do between each of the 12 sessions. And with the host kit, we give the host a separate book that contains all the answers to each of those test questions, as well as instructions about how to conduct each of those lectures. I was actually privileged this past weekend to go to Western Ohio and graduate 8 of the classes that have met in the area there and meet with the host, and there was more than 100 people that were in attendance. It was a great encouraging time because all over that part of Ohio, classes are multiplying and people graduate, buy a host kit, and they begin some in their own living room, others in the church setting, others get a public hall. I was encouraged by one man who is actually a member of the town council of his town, and he's leading a class right there in the public library. Gotten space that provided, and he's leading his citizens as a politician in his community, leading his citizens in an understanding of our Constitution. It's designed, Dr. Stan, as a turnkey way for anybody to teach the course. You don't need a background in history or law. You don't need to be an expert at any of this. Actually, you just need the willingness to say, I'm going to conduct a class and gather friends and neighbors and put the word out in your community. Oftentimes, newspapers will allow you to put a free, you know, community notes. Here's what's coming up. There's many ways you can get the word out. Maybe your own local talk show, radio show. You can call in and tell through the host, hey, we're doing a class on the Constitution. Anybody's interested? Here's the information, that kind of thing. There's many ways to get the word out in your community. And we find that particularly with this desperate place we're at now, with all the scandals breaking forth in Washington, people are looking for answers, and here it is. And so we encourage people to get a host kit by either calling us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or if you like, you could go to our website and order it there in our online store. Our website is one word, The American View, all is one word, TheAmericanView.com. And when you type in TheAmericanView.com, click that, and then it'll take you to the first page of our website. Right there, there's a blue button that says Order a Host Kit. Takes you to our web store. You can order the host kit there, or actually, if you prefer to take the course online, we're now offering the course online as well. So there's those two different ways, but we do encourage people to get a host kit because we know when you conduct a class with a group of citizens, there's an interaction, a synergy that takes place, and an excitement that builds as people begin interacting with their neighbors and say, wow, I thought maybe I was the only person that thought this way. And here I find a room full of other people who think just like I do. And there's a great encouragement, and often plans come out of that for maybe helping somebody who is truly a constitutionalist get elected to office, or doing some activity in the community to raise awareness. Many, many things come out of the kind of interaction of a group together studying these materials. So either go to our website, theamericanview.com. And by the way, when you click there to the web store, there's a whole bunch of other materials that we are making available to folks that we want to get the message out. Many aspects of our Constitution need to be understood in finer detail. Many resources there that can help you. One that I've put together to help people answer the question for fellow Christians, why should I study the Constitution? Which is the first question many Christians ask. So I walk through the scriptures, walk through the theological background as to why every Christian should study the Constitution. That's a DVD that's available there. So either go to our website, theamericanview.com, or call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution, 1-866-730-9796. We need to remember what our founders said. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. If we don't step up to the plate at this point in time, and we don't do something to restore liberty in our country, it will be lost. And this is something everyone can do. Everyone can get a host kit and begin a class in their community. And that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of the process. But without the proper education, your fellow citizens will not be taking the right action. They may be voting for the wrong people because they don't have a standard of the Constitution in their mind that enables them to know which are good candidates, constitutional candidates, and which are not. One of our lessons has a list of questions that you should ask anyone running for office. And that list of questions is valuable because it can quickly sort out, particularly in the primaries, sort out who you should not vote for and who you should vote for. And I said to many of the graduates this past weekend there in Ohio, you are now more qualified. Having taken our course, you are now more qualified than 99% of the people in Washington, D.C., or 99% of the people in your state capital, or 99% of the people in your county government or your local town government. Most people don't know the Constitution, but when they finish our course, they'll have a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, and the equipment, therefore, to begin the process of taking our country back and restoring our constitutional republic.
I agree with you, and I recommend this to everyone in the listening audience. Go right ahead now. I want you to get out your address. I want you to get out your telephone number.
Okay, that web address for Institute on the Constitution is one word, theamericanview.com, theamericanview.com. And our phone number, toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796.
Once again, you always put out your telephone number twice.
Okay, it's 1-866-730-9796.
And the web page one more time.
The web page is theamericanview.com.
Theamericanview.com. Of course, you can always go to our website, and we have a link to it. We want you to go there. We want you to get the information. We want you to get involved. This is something you can do, and this is just the beginning of the effort to take America back. Go right ahead, David.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, the false interpretation of the First Amendment would somehow divorce God's law and the God of the Bible from our constitutional republic, say he has nothing to do with it. That is not what the First Amendment says, and that's not the proper understanding of it at all, because all law ultimately is based upon a religious system. Like I said, Sharia law is based upon the Quran. Well, our founder said law is based upon the Bible. That's the foundation of law. And you think of the laws of morality. Murder, thou shalt not murder. Where does that come from? It comes from God's law, the Bible. Thou shalt not steal. God's law, the Bible. Again, all of these things, the laws regarding theft, the laws regarding murder and manslaughter and slander and libel and perjury, all of these are based upon God's law. Even traffic laws really are based upon God's law because their purpose is to protect life and property. And that, again, is reflected in the Ten Commandments. Laws regarding the court procedures, these also have a moral purpose. That is to further advance justice, to protect law and order, and to protect the God-given rights of the people. And so you could say every law on the statute book is concerned with a question of morality, or with the procedures for the enforcement of the law and the enforcement of justice. And so we might disagree about, you know, what constitutes justice, but we can turn to God's law, and there we discover exactly what it is. All law is ultimately an expression of morality, an expression of a religious worldview. And by the way, we've been lied to and say, well, you know, we're now in a secular government, or no, people would argue, oh, we always had a secular government from the very founding. That's a lie. The history disproves that. But they would also argue that we now have a secular system, and the secular system is fair and just for everyone. Well, no, it's not. Actually, it's a religious view. Atheistic secular humanism is a religion, and that religion has been imposed upon us, while Christianity has been stripped away and God's law has been taken out of our justice system. Well, the result is all these scandals that we have, and, you know, the Department of Justice should really be called the Department of Injustice, and on and on that goes. When we lose the foundation, God's law, we lose it all. Well, the history of our country is very informative as to the connection between God's law and law in the land. It started with the colonial charters that all acknowledged God, the God of the Bible, as the source of all governmental authority and the source of law. Many states had an established system of church-state relations in which taxes were gathered that funded the church structure. For example, all the New England colonies, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, they all had congregational, that is, Puritan churches established there. The southern colonies primarily had the Church of England, or the Episcopal Church, such as Virginia, North and South Carolina, and Georgia. And the middle colonies had a mix. Some of those were had more of religious freedom or greater degree of it than others. But nonetheless, each of those colonies required a belief in the God of the Bible in order to vote or in order to hold office, because they knew only those who have a fear of the one true God, the God of the Bible, are people that you can trust with any type of power when they are in office.
Well, you know, I think, David, your point is so well made. When was the last time we ever heard people talking about the fear of the Lord? I mean, basically, we were to fear the Lord and be, oh, well, that those ideas are passe. I mean, God loves everybody. We love everybody. We've got to have a government that provides for everybody. No, ladies and gentlemen, we were to fear the Lord. And because you feared the Lord, you did the right thing. And if you didn't fear the Lord, you weren't going to suddenly do the right thing. And we have to look at God as not just a big buddy who wants to do good, and just nobody is ever punished. No, ladies and gentlemen, people go to hell. And basically, that was the story of the Bible. But we never talk about that anymore. We don't want to make people feel ill at ease. And we better really get people to understand that a judgment day is coming if people do not take a stand against the evil. America's turned its back on God, and I fear that God will soon turn his back on America, unless, of course, we return to him. Go right ahead.
And indeed, there was a great revival that took place prior to the founding era. It was called the Great Awakening in 1640s, that period of time. And it had a great impact on ultimately the formation of our country, because in that Great Awakening, many Christians, many people came to faith in Christ outside of the established churches, like the Church of England or the Congregational churches up in New England. And so they separated themselves from those churches, and they formed Baptist and Methodist were the primary, and Presbyterian were the three big groups that were as a result of the Great Awakening. And so the people who were in those states, like in the southern states or up in New England, they continued to have to pay taxes for a church they no longer attended or were any part of, a church that they didn't think was actually doing the best job at making disciples. And so there was a movement there as a result of the Great Awakening to move away from the established state church system in many places. And oh, James Madison and Patrick Henry were a great part of this, as they defended Baptists who were accused of preaching without Episcopal licenses from the government there in Virginia. And they defended them in court, and they pressed for religious liberty. And the result of much of what they did is that they established a system where the established state churches were dying out. That is, being forced to pay taxes that would pay to support a church was being abolished in state after state after state. That freedom of religion, of the Christian religion, is that you could choose which church you were going to go to and not be forced either to attend a church or to support a church. This is what the phrase means when it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That is, on the federal level, it was impermissible for the federal government to form a national Christian church. And this is exactly what had happened in England, with the Episcopal Church being established under the king as the head of the Episcopal Church and all that. They said, no, we're not going to have that. Yes, there are individual states that choose to have an established church. That's fine. We're not saying they can't do that, but we're just saying that will not happen on the federal level. And therefore, the view that we see put on paper here in the First Amendment is the view that says there's no preferential treatment of one Christian denomination over another Christian denomination. And that's not what you'll hear, the typical explanation of the First Amendment today. You'll hear what is called the separationist view that says, oh, there is a wall of separation between church and state. Well, it's interesting. You look closely at the wording of the First Amendment. The word church never occurs. The word state never occurs. The word wall or separation between, none of those words occur in the First Amendment. But where did that phrase come from? Oh, well, it came from a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist in 1803 after he had been inaugurated. They wrote to congratulate him as president. And they were concerned that there might be some encroachment of the federal government upon their religious practice. Jefferson, don't worry about it. That can't happen. The federal government can't jump over this wall and do anything to your churches. It's impermissible for the federal government to interfere with your churches, because it says Congress shall make no law, absolutely no law.
Well, I think it's a... David, what this does is confuses the issue. People try to explain, well, you know, that the letter was incorrect, it had nothing to do with the First Amendment. So Thomas Jefferson wasn't even there when they wrote the Bill of Rights. But basically, people have to understand that the people in the Supreme Court wanted to destroy the religious foundation of our country. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were subversives that had been put on the Supreme Court to change the structure of our society. And they got away with it. And basically, of course, those of you who've read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, know who those people were on the Supreme Court. That decision was written by Hugo Black, a Supreme Court justice, who'd been a member of the Ku Klux Klan before he was put onto the Supreme Court. Why would you put somebody from the Ku Klux Klan onto the Supreme Court? Why? Because they wanted to destroy America, and they've done it. America is a post-Christian nation, and until we understand that certainly that we have been taken over by evil and subversive forces, nothing's going to change. Go right ahead, David.
Well, Thomas Jefferson's phrase was, as you say, forgotten until resurrected by the Supreme Court and twisted to mean something other than what Thomas Jefferson actually intended it to mean. You have to read the whole letter in context to understand what he was saying there.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be wrapping up the program.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and give back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I hope you enjoy our conversations with Pastor David Whitney. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that they took God and prayer out of our schools was because they wanted to destroy the Christian foundation of this country. And if you haven't read my treatise on the Masonic background of that decision, five of the Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court at that time came from the Masons, and basically four of them voted for that legislation. And you have to understand that the Masons control our Supreme Court in majorities of at least 5-4 from 1941 till 1969. And basically, I'm preparing for a talk, and I got that information. I went over it very, very carefully. Somebody had said at one time they had 8-1, but as I went over the list just recently, it looks like they never had more than 6 justices on the Supreme Court. But they were members of a secret society that worships the great architect of the universe. Men, of course, are pushed ahead because they are members of a secret, covert organization operating at the highest levels of our government and put on the Supreme Court not to adjudicate law, but to transform America from what it was, a Christian nation, into the post-Christian nation we are today. Understand that, ladies and gentlemen, and you certainly, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you haven't looked at the back of the dollar bill and seen the pyramid with the all-seeing eye there and asked, what's that doing there? On the other side of the back of the dollar bill, there's an eagle, but it wasn't initially. Initially, it was a phoenix. It was on the front of the Great Seal of the United States, and it was a phoenix bird to denote the ancient societies that were destroyed and then came back again, as with the destruction of Babel and now, of course, the building of America. America was the bird that would rise from the ashes. And that was the whole idea. They gradually changed it from a phoenix to an eagle. And that's what's on the back of the dollar bill. But it was originally was a phoenix. They knew that. There is a small group of people who really understand that. You'll see their logos every place. You'll find the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye on the house of the temple in Washington, D.C. You'll see it on the Israeli Supreme Court building. You'll find it certainly hidden on the back of the dollar bill. We see it every day. It's hidden in plain sight. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand this powerful spiritual forces at work. If you haven't heard my talk, Agenda 21, the covert plan, you need to get it. You need to get the DVD and then copy it. You have my permission. Copy anything that we have made and get it out as long as you're not selling it at a profit. We want you to get the information out. And that's why we do what we do, because we must educate the American people about the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged today. So we ask you to go to our website, radioliberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs, where you can certainly listen to our programs on the Internet 24 hours a day. We have all sorts of archive programs there going back over 6 weeks. You can read our newsletters and, of course, the more recent ones written by Will Grigg, who's one of the finest minds and finest writers we have in the conservative movement. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day, trying to get people to understand that we're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And this is a spiritual battle. And there are powerful spiritual forces aligned with secret societies out there working behind the scenes. And certainly right now, of course, a lot of people talk about the Bilderbergers. And, oh, my goodness, they're having the meeting and people go over there and demonstrate without understanding this is all a diversion. The real power is the Trilateral Commission. Go to their website, trilateral.org, trilateral.org, and then look at their logo. You'll see it there. And basically, you'll see three curved arrows, but if you look closely, you'll see they're three sixes bound together in the middle by an upside-down Nero's cross, a semblance of Nero's cross, ancient Emperor Nero, who burned Rome and blamed it on the Christians. Why would that be the logo of the Trilateral Commission? Because it's a Luciferian organization, ladies and gentlemen, and it controls our government. It controls certainly our current administration. Please pray for America. In a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean, white with gold. God bless America, my heart beats for. God bless America. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of a gentleman who's been at this battle almost as long as I have. I've known Ralph, I'm sure, well over 30 years. Our guest is Ralph Epperson, who many years ago wrote a wonderful book called The unseen hand. The unseen hand is a classic because, of course, it goes into this: these satanic and Luciferian forces working behind the scenes. Ralph, how many copies of that book have you put out?
Well, I've sold 135,000 copies of it, but it's taken me 28 years, but it's still selling, and I'm keep reprinting it.
Well, I think it's an important book. I think it's a very important book, and Ralph did a great job on this. And basically, Ralph has given his life as of eye to this battle. There is just a handful of people around. How long have you been at it now?
Well, I started without any intent. It was in 1963, I started reading at the request of a friend of mine who said I needed to study revisionist history. I didn't know what that meant, so he gave me a book to read. That started the process. And I've read it over, by actual count, over 1,100 books. I'm through with my reading, except incidentally, just a little here and there. But I think I know enough to convince anyone as to what's going on in this country.
Well, I think you do as well. Well, why don't you try, in your own words, explaining about these hidden forces working behind the scenes that are intent upon stripping away our freedom. I believe, of course, they're intent upon destroying this country. They really do intend to destroy this country. These people really believe, as Plato did, that suddenly the people are unfit to rule. Plato didn't believe in democracy. He said democracy doesn't work. And the elite believe democracy doesn't work. That, of course, is why they circumvented. Oh, we go to the polls, we vote for the candidate of our choice every 3 years or 4 years, but remember, of course, between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission, six of the eight presidents of the World Bank, including the current one, Robert Zoellick, eight of the 10 U.S. World Trade Representatives, seven of the 12 secretaries of state, nine of the 12 secretaries of defense. And, of course, when Barack Obama, who's not a member of the Trilateral Commission, was elected president, he picked 11 of the 87 members of the Trilateral Commission as his closest advisors, the head of the National Security Council. His first advisor was General James Jones, who came from the Trilateral Commission, who actually openly said he got his orders on a daily basis from Henry Kissinger. General James Jones was certainly replaced by a man named Thomas Donilon, who came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. Thomas Donilon was recently replaced by a woman named Susan Rice, who came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. Now, they have to drop out, of course, when they become a government, key government officials. But why don't they talk about that? Why do we spend all of our time talking about the Bilderbergers? Well, very simply, because they do not want you to know what's really going on. Go to their website, trilateral.org, and look at their logo. Three sixes joined together in the center by an upside-down broken cross. Understand that there really is a spiritual battle going on. These are powerful people. They know exactly what they're doing. And we just never talk about this in the regular cycles. And basically, that's why when we have somebody like Ralph Heberson, we want him to go ahead and give his views on what's happening. Okay, he's been studying this for almost as long as I have, and certainly one of the best informed people of the nation. We'll be back here in just a moment with Ralph Heberson, his book, The Unseen Hand, a classic. If you haven't read it, you must. Well, Ralph, you go right ahead.
Well, you're very kind for your words about me and my research. I never started out to write a book. That was not my intent. I just wanted to read. But it slowly accumulated to where I wrote my first book in 1985. I've since written three more and put out 19 DVDs. They're still, in fact, the latest one is called Barack Obama. Well, if you want to talk about that, we can talk about that, Doc Stanley. I better not mention it. It's very controversial.
Okay.
Anyway, that was my latest one. It's now gotten on the internet, but it's not drawing much interest because it's very controversial.
Well, we seem to have a very, very poor connection. Are you on a regular hard line there, Ralph?
Yes, regular phone.
All right. I'm going to ask my secretary, my producer, to call you back, see if we can get a better line, okay?
Thanks very much.
Okay, you hang up, and I'm going to ask our Rich to go ahead and call. Call him again. Let's see if we get a better line, because I want you to hear what Ralph has to say. Basically, he's a fascinating individual. We've always enjoyed talking to him. If that's any better. Are you there, Ralph?
Yes, I'm right there, Dr. Stan.
Oh, you're ever so much better. Well, sometimes we get a little less, get a poor line or something. It's always well worthwhile getting a good one, especially.
Well, that was me, Dr. Stan. I increased the volume on my phone, and it increases my volume, but the only way to increase when I was talking to your producer before we started, I could hardly hear you. So I said, well, I'll increase my volume, and when I did, it got garbled on your end, but I've cut it down again, so I think we're okay.
Okay, fine. Well, it sounds like we're going to do fine, so we'll be back. We'll have all of our listeners on here in just a moment, and we begin to explore this. Maybe we could talk about your view of the unseen hand, because basically people honestly believe we vote for our elected representatives. They don't understand. They don't understand. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Ralph Epperson. His book, The Unseen Hand, covers the basic theme that I do. Basically, of course, there is an unseen hand that controls both political parties, but, of course, they can't let the American people know that. The elite who run America don't believe in the democratic process, but they have to let the people go to the polls every 4 years or 2 years to vote, thinking that they're going to change things. Now, you will change things at your state level sometimes, or many times, and at your local level, because they can't control everything, but they can tightly control what goes on in Washington, D.C., and basically, of course, we always think that we're just about to make a change, but they're playing games with us. They're distorting our reality. And we all of us think, well, if we could just get in a new president, that last one was so bad, the new one's got to be better. Without understanding, they control both the Democrat and the Republican candidates. And every 4 years, we go to the polls to vote for the candidates of their choice. Ralph, why don't you take off and describe your vision of what's going on today from a political point of view?
Well, when I wrote The Unseen Hand in 1985, Dr. Stan, I thought it was the bank. I put together a scenario where the American Revolution, the War of 1812, and the Civil War were all created by the European bankers to force us into a central bank. And they didn't get it even after the end of the Civil War, so they changed their strategy in 1873, 1893, and 1907 into what I call bank runs. And then that finally, J.P. Morgan said, finally, what we need is the central bank, and they created the Federal Reserve in 1913, and that's been our problem. But I've been wrong. As I continued my research, I discovered this thing is far more serious than that, far more sinister, far more evil than even I thought in The Unseen Hand. So I wrote the second book called The New World Order just before George Bush mentioned the phrase in 1990. That book was still selling. In fact, it's my second bestseller subject to The Unseen Hand. And then I wrote two more that aren't really pertinent to what you want to talk about, The Unseen Hand, that I've got a total four out. I just got word today that my third book is now being published in Macedonia. I don't even know where that is. So I checked on my computer. It's apparently south of Milwaukee, I guess. That's about all I can say about Macedonia. I don't even know there was a country by that name. Anyway, that's what I believe. It's much bigger, much worse, more sinister, 6,000 years old. And we're going into the New World Order, and that's where this nation's headed.
And basically, of course, it really is. It's been around for a long time, this desire to create a one-world government. In fact, this is very interesting. But there's a very, very famous speech by Benjamin Franklin. And I don't know exactly, but I can sort of paraphrase it, where he says, "I've lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convinced I am of this fact, that God rules in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow could not fall without his notice, can a great empire be raised without his blessing?" And then, of course, if we do not have his blessing, why, we will fare no better than the builders of Babel. Well, of course, if you read that, you find out, of course, that he basically uses punctuation to point out that there are two gods. It's a wonderful, wonderful quotation, but it lays everything out. First of all, America was building an empire. This is a talk that was given at the Constitutional Convention. And he's talking about an empire. Most people didn't want an empire. They just wanted a government so they could live. Also, of course, we were going to fare no better than the builders of Babel. Why, the builders of Babylon had tried to create a world government under Nimrod. But the average individual could read that speech and never understand it. And yet, of course, when you notice how in some places he capitalizes God, in others he doesn't. In some places he capitalizes the H in his, others he doesn't. He capitalizes the word that follows it. And basically the message is there are two gods. There, the God of the Bible, and then there's the God that certainly they worship, who is Lucifer. But go right ahead, Ralph.
Well, I agree with that statement, Dr. Stan. I found that in 1985, and I put it out in a national speech that I made around the country in 91 cities, that there was a battle that goes back to the book of Genesis. And I don't say that. I'm a Christian, but I said that as an historian. This conspiracy believes in the book of Genesis and that there is a devil, and they believe that he created a religion called, well, in part, Masonry. It's actually called Babylon, the same thing, Babylon, the ancient mystery religion. And that's where we're going. And our founding fathers believed on this, like you pointed out with Ben Franklin. We committed this nation to the New World Order. It's on the back of our dollar bill. It's in the Great Seal of the United States. And that was done in 1782, way before we even created our first government in 1787. So this nation was committed to Lucifer in the Great Seal of the United States is shown on the back of our dollar bill. That's where we are.
And
Novo Ordo Seclorum is where we're going.
And the thing is that most of the people who were here when our country was founded had no idea what this was all about. There were only a handful of the people, but they were very well organized. The average individual suddenly would have heard about Benjamin Franklin's speech and would have accepted it. You know, he was talking about God. He was talking about their God. But, of course, he was not talking about their God. The average person would certainly have looked at the Great Seal of the United States and noted it was sort of a funny-looking bird, without realizing it was a phoenix. It wasn't an eagle, it was a phoenix. Now, basically, they've changed that ever since then. But the plan was, when America was created, there was just a small, very small group of people who had this idea that America would create an empire that would lead the world into a one-world government. And the vast majority of the people who were certainly involved with the Revolutionary War and the creation of our Constitution had no idea what it was all about. But Benjamin Franklin and a handful did know exactly what it was about. And there's always been this little handful, and there are today, operating in the Trilateral Commission. Look at their logo, ladies and gentlemen. Why would they have a logo made up of three curved arrows? If you look closely, you can see the three sixes. They're joined together by an upside-down broken cross. Go right ahead, Ralph.
Well, that's true. Ben Franklin wrote in his autobiography, published by the Harvard Classics, that they used words to deceive. He told a story about how they wanted to buy some gunpowder when he was in the Pennsylvania legislature. And he knew that the Quakers, who were also in the legislature, would never approve of their buying an article of war. So he wrote up a bill for 3,000 pounds, meaning, of course, the dollar at the time was a pound, 3,000 pounds for a grain. It was for wheat, bread, wheat, bread, and other grain. I'm missing one ingredient, but it was basically wheat and bread and that kind of stuff. So they approved it. Said, "Well, I guess we're buying some food for somebody." So they approved it. And when he bought the gunpowder, He said, we didn't authorize that. He said, yes, you did. You said you gave us permission to buy other grain, and surely gunpowder is another grain. And he pointed out that we wanted to buy a great gun. It sounds like a great cannon of some form. He didn't say why, but they knew they would never get that past the Quakers. So they brought up a piece of legislation for a fire engine, knowing that Ben Franklin was in the fire insurance business. So they bought they gave him permission, and they bought their great gun. And when they objected, they said, Ben Franklin wrote, surely a great gun is a fire engine. So this is what they've done. They've deceived us with words. We believed a lot of the lies. We still do even today. And very rarely do you find textbooks or history books that tell the truth about this. That's why the reason why I wrote The Unseen Hand.
Well, basically, Chris, you mentioned that you went around to 90 areas and you gave talks. How did you arrange a speaking tour like that, of that magnitude?
Well, I didn't do it. I was a member of the John Birch Society. So when I wrote The Unseen Hand, I called Ed Griffin, who was a fellow writer, and perhaps one of the better known ones even than I'll ever be. He wrote the book on the Jekyll Island, and he's written the book on the United Nations, Cancer, and Laetrile. And so he helped me, and I asked him, I said, listen, Ed, he's also at the Birch Society. I said, I'd like to go on the speaker's tour. So they arranged that, and that's what started it. I was able to tour 91 cities from 85 to 87 in 31 states. I did seven tours, each one lasting about a month or maybe 6 weeks, and I'd come home and then go out again 6 or 8 months later. And so that's what started The Unseen Hand in this book sale.
Well, I bet you're not invited to go out and give speeches today, are you?
Well, not as much as I used to be. I got a chance. I'm going to San Diego. First time I've done that for a couple of years. I'm going to San Diego for a weekend seminar. But I don't get the chance as much anymore.
And basically, there's an organized effort, I think, to keep people who really understand what's going on from actually giving the speeches. I mean, certainly at one time, I did a lot of national, international speaking. And basically, actually, one time, I was just thinking about it the other day. I was actually doing speaking for one of the largest Catholic organizations in the country. It was called Human Life International, headed by a wonderful Catholic priest named Father Marks. And they actually, I used to go to their major speech all across America. They even sent me on an international tour with a group of Catholics. I was the only Protestant, but they were all wonderful people. I believe most of them loved the Lord. And basically, we went to New Zealand and Australia, and I gave a talk on AIDS, and I also gave one on the secret societies. And actually, a group actually infiltrated Father Marx's organization, Human Life International, and threw him out so that I couldn't do any more speaking there. And basically, you know, it was they were do anything, of course, to keep this information from getting out. And certainly the Birch Society would never, for one reason or another, never saw fit to want to go ahead and invite me to go on a speaking tour. But basically, of course, the information that is in Ralph's book is excellent. And basically, he covers this whole idea. This is a spiritual battle. There are powerful occult forces. Would you agree with that, Ralph?
Absolutely, 100%.
And basically, they're here, they're not imaginary. That's why they have their emblems hidden, and you'll find them all over Washington, D.C. In fact, we have a video, it's put out, certainly by Chris Pinto, and it's in his series on the secret mysteries of America's beginnings, and then number two, on the occult symbology in Washington, D.C. If you haven't seen it, you really should. We'll be back here in just a moment with Ralph Everson. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love.
be late.
No. White with gold. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop?
Right, son.
Kind of makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Hello, son.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, darling.
You, son?
Brand new, first time in the air.
Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Bang 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Ralph Epperson. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And what is so difficult for people to understand or to believe is that there really are people who actively worship Lucifer today and follow his dictates. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody in the Trilateral Commission understands the Spirit's implications, but they should. All they have to do is look at their logo and ask, you know, why would we have a logo made up of three sixes bound together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross? But I will tell you that some of them know exactly what they're doing. And basically, there are people who worship Lucifer today because there is tremendous power that you can get. And basically, if you give your life to him, he will reward you richly. And ladies and gentlemen, don't even think about it, because of course you'll spend eternity in hell. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, if you have a question for Ralph Epperson, who's been at this as long as I have, independently came to the same conclusion, and only a small number of people really understand this. Certainly there are many organizations out there, they're conservative organizations, and they talk about certainly freedom and the Constitution and what's happening to our country, but they will never tell you the forces behind what's going on. They will certainly tell you all about the fact that there's no wall of separation between church and state. They will not tell you, however, that the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court at the time of that decision back in 1962 by a majority of 5-4. And basically, they controlled the Supreme Court for a period of 28 years at that time, because they'd been appointed there to destroy the Christian foundation of this nation, because they worship a different God. They worship the great architect of the universe, and they will tell you there's a Bible in every Masonic temple, and there is. But of course, if you go into the Bible in Muslim nation, they have the Quran, and certainly in India, they will have certainly what the holy book is of the Hindu religion. And basically, of course, they have different religions in every nation in the world today. Understand that they worship a different God. And when you understand that there really is this Luciferian influence in our society, it's always been here, suddenly things began to make a lot more sense. Don't you agree, Ralph?
Absolutely. When the Mason goes through the first three degrees, I call him the vice president just to make sure that we understand he's the second in command. He's asked by the president, what do you seek for this initiative? And the vice president says, light. like light from a light bulb, just the word light. In the second degree, it's more light. And then in the third degree, it's further light. And then as the Mason is leaving at the third degree, he's told that he will learn that the light represents the true knowledge of deity. Now notice, Dr. Stan, you don't learn the true knowledge of deity in the Bible or in your church or synagogue. You learn it in the Mason. But you don't learn about the greater God as being the true knowledge. You learn that Lucifer is the true knowledge of deity. Now, you don't learn that through the first three degrees. They ended at that. But you are told you're going to learn the true knowledge of deity if you stick with the Mason. And then at the 30th degree, the Mason, on his way to the 32nd, takes a sword in his hand and vows to destroy Christianity. 14, if you want, and 15, if you want to call Reagan as the president. I don't know whether Reagan went through the ritual. Let's say 14 of our presidents at least are acknowledged as being Masons. They've taken a sword in their hand to destroy Christianity. In fact, you'll read in one of Albert Pike's books that the true purpose of Masonry is revealed at the 30th degree. So the true purpose is the destruction of Christianity, like you said. That's what this is all about. That's what they're out to do.
And that's, of course, why they took us God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and Christmas and Easter out of our schools and out of any public institution. They know exactly what they're doing. So why hasn't somebody reappeared, suddenly taken the case back to the new Supreme Court, where five of the justices are Catholic? And certainly, as we should be able to get rid of that. But nobody wants to do that, because it's certainly the powerful forces that are out there really don't want to solve the problem. They want to perpetuate it. The last thing they would want would be for a return of this country to its Christian heritage. And at one time, we were a Christian nation. We're no longer a Christian nation. And you look at history, every time a nation turns against God, God turns against that nation. And that's really why, of course, my belief sincerely is unless we turn back to God, there is no hope for this country. And terrible things are coming. And I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. Words of Thomas Jefferson, chiseled into the white marble of the Jeffersonian Memorial. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question or comment, here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295.
And the storm clouds gather far across the sea. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, white with gold. God bless America.
Don't be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America.
Right, son.
This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ralph Epperson. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've been talking about Ralph's book, The Unseen Hand. Robert calling from Spokane, Washington. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I just had a quick comment. In regards to the subject, it is really important that people understand and investigate and ask their own questions about the subject. Also, I just wanted to sidestep for a second and just point out the important fact that all of this is kind of also a distraction to keep us clouded and fearful. So if anybody ever has any kind of questions or concerns, they should always investigate that first and look into that in regards to the masonry and you know, basically what I consider the dark side, essentially through man's work. People are going to try to feel like they can make their own world and make things better for themselves through their own work. And I think that's really the beauty in being able to just, you know, let your soul just be given to God and let him do his work and don't fear the knowledge of basically the world ending or our economy going into some kind of blasphemy or, you know, the fear is one of their biggest bullets that they're trying to shoot at. That's basically the biggest thing that I want to tune in.
Okay, Robert, do you think that people should be involved and concerned about what's going on in the world?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest thing to consider, though, is the fact that if we're trying to fix the world that we live in here and now, you know, this ultimately is Satan's world, and his job is to make a heaven comparable to the Lord, and that, you know, because his prideful nature, that's what he wants to do. He wants to put it in his face. He wants to put it in our Father's face that, ha, I can make peace on earth. And as humans, because we dwell here and because we live here and we're infatuated with everything that we see in this realm, we really ultimately want to get involved and help things and make things better. Ultimately here, we have to always remember that it's glorifying God in every single step, because if it's not, and it's only to better our city or our county or our country, The problem in that is that if it's not glorifying God and it's helping us or our neighbor but not glorifying God, then it's helping Satan.
All right, fine. I think you're absolutely right, Robert. But the one thing is that unless people understand what's going on, most people have turned against God because we've taken God out of their reality. They control the media. They're using it to destroy everything. They're destroying public schools. Do you have children in public schools?
My daughter is going to be in public school in 3 years, and that's something that I'm really, as a parent, weighing. Obviously, here I understand that there is good things about public schools in regards to the relationships and the camaraderie and the social aspect of it. On the flip side, however, their curriculum definitely is something that we as parents in this day and age should definitely put our chins up and be proud, and everybody that's listening on the radio should definitely be proud that we have the power to step into our school's office and say, hey, look, and we can question these things in the curriculum.
Robert, you put your daughter into public schools that destroy her soul, and if you're not involved in trying to do something, why then you become responsible, because you put her in public school, and the purpose of public schools is to destroy the belief in Christianity. But certainly we have to glorify God, but I believe God put us here for a purpose. And if you men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, God bless you. Thanks so much for calling, Robert. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Robert is absolutely right. We must learn to rely upon the Lord, but we also, I believe, must be involved. How would you respond to Robert's remarks, Ralph?
Because I would agree with what you just said, Dr. Stan. Let me point out to you, he could do the same thing that I've done. I have a concordance on the Bible, you know, on a computer program that allows me to search words in the King James Version. The two words good and evil are used over 1,200 times. The name, the word Jesus is used 900 times. That book is not only about salvation, it's about good and evil. Why? Because in the Garden of Eden, Satan offered Adam and Eve the right to decide for themselves what was right and wrong. When God told them, don't do that. Thou shalt not eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which means you're not supposed to decide what's right and wrong. You're supposed to listen to me, because when you decide, you're going to make everything that's wrong right. That's what you're going to do. There are people on this earth right today that want to make, allow everyone the right to make their own decision what's right and wrong. There's it's called the New Age religion. It's called the Masonic Lodge. They don't believe in absolutes. They don't believe in morality. Our children are being taught situation ethics in their schools. They're taught sex education without morality. And then when little Johnny does, you know, enjoys ice, notices a little Debbie over there. She's pretty, got a cute figure, so he grabs her and takes her in the bushes because there's no morality in sex. So he takes her in the bushes and then walks away, and he's how proud he was. And then he gets thrown in jail. One branch of government says it's okay to have relations when you're ready and when you want to. And the next one says, no, if you do that and you rape someone, you go to jail. This is how stupid this whole thing is. We are supposed to listen to God. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are not reproving the unfruitful works of darkness. We are abiding by them. We're living it. We're doing it ourselves. We're believing that we have the right to decide in all things what's right and wrong. That's the lie of Lucifer going back to the Garden of Eden.
And the answer to that is fear God, keep his commandments.
That's amen.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you have a question or comment, maybe you have a comment on the last call. Do you agree or disagree with my opinion? Maybe you agree or disagree with the caller. But I think it's an important approach. But basically, of course, the only thing that's going to save America is a great revival. But we're not going to get a great revival unless people know there's a problem. And there's that people who want to do everything to say, oh, you don't want to tell people about the problem. They're going to become fearful. Well, I'll tell you what, you should be afraid. You should be very afraid, because I fear that the society we know is going to be destroyed, and hundreds of millions of Americans are going to be destroyed. And if you've never been to Elberton, Georgia, I suggest you go and stand there in the shadow of that great occult monument built there. It's built by a secret society where they talk about eliminating over 90% of the population of the world. It's not imaginary. It's real. It's already underway. Well, Ralph, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and get your books. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you agree, you disagree. That's what Talk Radio is about. But, Ralph, how can people get in touch with you and get your material?
Well, the best way to do it would be to go to my website on the Internet. It's Ralph, R-A-L-P is in Petunia H, and then there's a dash, Ralph-Epperson, E is in Edward, P-P is in Peter, E-R-S-O-N, of course, .com, Ralph-Epperson.com. That's my website. You go there and you can browse. My phone number's there. My email address is there. My street address is there. People call me. I had a call today he was calling from Alabama, and he said, I want to talk about the book, The Unseen Hand. And I said, this is Ralph Epperson. And he was stunned. He said, no, this can't be. No one gets to talk to the authors. And I said, no. I answer the phone. I answer questions. We talked for about 2 hours today, and he's going to call back. So please, if you have a question or comment or want to talk about any of my material, Call me in Tucson, Arizona. My phone number is listed on my website.
Okay, fine. Well, I think people are lucky to be able to get hold of you. I get lots of calls, but I don't have the time. I try to answer questions, but I wish I had the time to talk to people.
I know you do.
Why don't we do 5 hours of talk radio a day? There's no time, and I hope people don't feel offended when I just say I just don't have the time to talk. But I do take calls and questions if we can, but we just cannot talk for 2 hours. I wish I could. Well, we've got a caller on the line. Let's see who it is. And if they'll just type in the name, we'll get to them. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We've got Robert. Okay, Robert, did you have another comment you wanted to make?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to check with you guys. Sorry about that. I was listening to I just wanted to check with you guys and see if I was able to call back. I'm super enthralled about the topic, though. But ultimately here, I also wanted to bring up the fact that it is super important for us to, like you said, do our work and see what we can do to better our lives. Because ultimately, if we walk in Jesus's example, it's just gonna spread and it's gonna get bigger and bigger. And people are just really going to gravitate towards that. I just wanted to really stress the importance and also kind of get feedback from you as far as what you think about the importance of recognizing fear as far as I'm not trying to change the subject or topic, but I mean, as far as fear and how fear can really, like...
I think that we should fear God and we should keep his commandments. And I think it was the fear of God that has brought people into the kingdom. And basically, I will tell you that practicing medicine for many years with a group of physicians, most of them were not Christians. Very few of them were. We had a little prayer group and a little study group. It was only when each one of these people had a major catastrophe in their lives, they lost a wife, or they had a divorce, or suddenly they lost a relative, or they had a malpractice suit, some major cataclysmic event. So they got them
God.
To begin thinking about what was going on, and so they got them looking for God. And what I do is I try to get people to understand that there is a very real problem. We live in a utopian society. People don't need God. Or at least they think they don't, but they really do. And the only way
right.
we're going to do this, in my estimation, is to let them know how bad things are. I believe we should fear God. And if we don't fear God and fear what's going on, we're not going to keep his commandments. Why should we? Now, what are your thoughts on that, Ralph?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Our church is no longer aflame with righteous indignation. And that's the problem. We're not being taught about sin and evil. I keep wondering, when are they going to start talking about being honest in your business dealing? Every time we turn around, there's more scandals, more billions of dollars changing hands by fraud and corruption. Our politicians, even in Arizona, we got a former congressman, while he was a congressman, got involved with some sort of scandal and multi-millions of dollars was defrauded. But what happened to basic morality? We didn't have this problem before, but we don't have it anymore because we're not resisting. Our churches are no longer aflame with righteous indignation. They should be teaching that we should be honest and upright in our business dealings and don't accept fraud and lies. And yet that's what we're doing.
Amen to that. Okay. Anything else you wanted to say, Robert?
I just wanted to further elaborate on the fact that if anybody ever questions anything regarding God, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through them, and it's really waking them up. And as you said, when people come into their life problems and those milestones, when they realize they don't have control of anything, that's when they start seeking. God will only reveal himself, when he wants to each individual person. And when we walk in his ways and we study things that are wrong with our society and we step in and try as hard as we can to change those things, as long as it's glorifying God and in that image, everybody will gravitate towards that energy. And that's another thing that I wanted to say. And also, I just wanted to give you guys a big thanks. And I'm a new fan and listener, and I've been listening to you guys for the past 4 months now, and it's just amazing.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so much for calling back, Robert. God bless. And I hope you keep listening and encourage other people too. God bless. Thanks so much. Okay.
Absolutely. Fine. Thank you, guys.
Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And basically, of course, it's how do you actually come up with a sort of a halfway ground, you know, between being obsessed with what's going on today and certainly looking at it objectively. We are involved in a spiritual battle. Hundreds of millions of people have already been killed. Certainly, China has killed 400 million unborn children. This whole process is supervised by International Planned Parenthood Federation, which is funded, at least in part, by your tax money. The same thing in India, where they've killed 400 million unborn children. Should we be concerned about that, or should we just put this and shrug, or should we be concerned about the fact that they're poisoning our water with fluoride? They know very well, of course, it produces cancer. They know very well it lowers the intelligence. They know very well it leads to infertility. They're poisoning our food. They're poisoning the air we breathe. If you don't believe, there's aluminum, certainly in the jet fuel. Just go to your search engine and type in jet fuel, aluminum, you'll find it's true. But they don't want you to know that. They know exactly what they're doing. And that's just part of the spring. They have that, those are the jet trails. Then, of course, they have their spray fleet, and they're up there. And they're using it to alter the weather. And there's so many things going on today. Certainly, they've outlawed DDT. DDT had saved 500 million lives. DDT saved 500 million lives. Why did we outlaw it? Because it had saved 500 million lives. A million people die a year, every year today, of malaria or typhus or some of the other yellow fever. Because we've outlawed DDT, it would be far safer than anything we have. In India, they still use it. Did you know that? They produce it in India today, and they have half the cancer rate we do. Why? Because it prevents cancer, and the people who work in the factories where they produce the DDT have a far lower cancer rate than elsewhere. That's one reason we wanted to do away with it, because it prevents cancer. But the average individual finds these things so difficult to believe. Any thoughts on that, Rob?
Yeah, I agree with you. I understand. When I was living in Portland, they tried to fluoridate our water in Portland, and I went on the talk shows and tried to convince them. I wasn't successful, but I was in Tucson when I heard that they were going to fluoridate our waters. I went down there, and we had a thing called call to the audience, 5 minutes at a time, and I went there about 4 weeks in a row and explained carefully what fluoride can do and that it can kill, and I gave examples, and I told them the story, and finally, they tabled it, and they haven't brought it back. So I guess I was successful.
And they said if you had a Ralph Emerson in your community, maybe you wouldn't have fluoridated water. They're poisoning our water. They're poisoning our children. They're poisoning the water. They're poisoning the air. They're giving our kids poisonous drugs. They know what they're doing. We're dealing with organized evil, and when you understand that, when you understand they really do intend to kill off most of the people, it all makes sense. Go up to the internet and type in population control agenda. Population control agenda. You can put my name in, population control agenda, or Radio Liberty. Get it, read it, reread it, understand. They call it genocide. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Ralph, we got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. Go right ahead.
We're on the air again now?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, well, you're very kind. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Please get in touch. Go search. If you want to read some reviews on The Unseen Hand, go to eBay and then type in The Unseen Hand and then click on books. There are 6 reviews. I had nothing to do with those, but I couldn't have written them better. And they'll tell you how great they think that book is. One guy said that every American must read this book, or read what they say, or go to Amazon.com, The Unseen Hand, and read. There's something like 80 or 90% of all the reviews, there's like 70 of them, I think, on my book, are either 4 or 5 stars, and they're free to write whatever they want. Nothing to do with any of that either. So the book, The Unseen Hand, is still a classic. It's still selling. I'm still selling it. to wholesalers and bookstores and also individual parties. Go to my website. You can get the book through there or Amazon.com or your local bookstore. The Unseen Hand. If you want to know what's been happening in America, that's still the primer, I believe. And a lot of people believe that. And I've been urging others to read the book as well.
I remember reading it and being taken with it. I thought you did an excellent job on it.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I believe that's what this fellow said today. He said he's only got about 40 pages, but he's convinced I'm right. He says, you write so easily to understand. And he's an educated man. He's got a master's degree, and he was a retired military officer. So I was surprised that he called. But The Unseen Hand is still a classic, but I've got other books. Go to my website and browse. You don't have to spend a penny. Just look and read, and there's 4 or 5 DVDs you can watch on my website. And I would urge you to do that, especially America's Secret Destiny. You need to know how our founding brothers set this nation up and why we have the two seals of the United States and what do the Latin mean and what's the connection to the Masonic Lodge. Very, very important.
And of course, most people don't understand Masonry. In fact, I don't think most Masons really understand Masonry. There are two levels of Masonry. There's an outer Masonry, just for the people who like it, as the camaraderie. But there's an inner level of Masonry for the elect, where they study the secret and the secret of secrets. And, of course, the secret occult movement. And it's there, of course, that you get the power and the wealth. And, of course, you are promoted to ever higher levels, even far beyond the 33rd degree. And there really are levels above the 33rd degree, which most people have no idea about, and which most Masons don't even know about. We live in a world of deceit and deception. Ralph Everson, God bless you. It was good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we hope you enjoyed the conversation with Ralph Everson, an old friend from long ago, and I simply wanted to have him on again. His book, The Unseen Hand, is excellent. I think we probably carry it. We did for many years, and I hope we still do. If not, why, of course, you can get it from him, but you can call our 800 line and see if we have it. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, well, you need to get it. Certainly, they both have the same basic message. And that is that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. And certainly, Masonry is simply one of them. There are many, many organizations out there, but they all certainly have the same, certainly common origin, and that is within Luciferianism. This desire for a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world religion, and ultimately installing the new one-world ruler. Of course, Plato wrote about him in the Republic, and that is, of course, what is well along the way today. And behind all of it are the Luciferian forces of the Prince of this world. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And certainly we hope that many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We hope that you'll certainly get our books and our DVDs and videos and help us get the 4-CD sets. We've got wonderful 4-CD sets. If you want to know how they killed Bobby Kennedy or Jack Kennedy or certainly Martin Luther King, or how they intended to kill off the men on the USS Liberty, or the deadly assassins, they actually have professional assassins. We interview several of them. Of course, one of them is now dead. The other's disappeared. And then we interview the man who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General George Patton. Fascinating information you're not going to get elsewhere. And we do this because we want you to have the information. We want you to duplicate the various things that we have produced and get them out across America. Because we need to reach as many people as we have in the time that God's going to allot to us. So remember our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you want to certainly become active supporters. You can help us if you don't have a Berkey water filters or you'd like to get extra ones for your family. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving towards a cataclysmic event, and you may have difficulty getting fresh water. You'll want to have something to purify it, and then you need to have extra filters on hand. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you want to lay in a supply of health products and the things that you really need for health today. And one of them, of course, is vitamin D3 in large and high doses, because, of course, they're lying to you about this, and they tell you when you go outside, you put on your sunscreen. Why? Why, that way, of course, you won't get vitamin D, and you'll be vitamin D deficient. And when you're vitamin D deficient, you're much more prone to get cancer or many other diseases. And you say, why, they wouldn't do something like that? And of course they would. They just don't want you to understand the degree of evil that you're up against. And so many of the medications that they put you on or your children on are carcinogenic. And so many of the foods that they put out are carcinogenic. Aspartame, you'll find it in 5,000 food products. They know it's carcinogenic. It produces infertility. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the average person to know. They know that they're creating new diseases, the plague us. Where did AIDS come? Where did Lyme disease come? Where did Legionnaire's disease come? Where did the mycoplasma diseases come from? Where did chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia come from? And nobody wants to answer those questions, but I will tell you that many of these came from government laboratories. In fact, Lyme disease started in Lyme, Connecticut, right across the inlet from a government center where they create new diseases. And basically, of course, we ask you, of course, to remember our telephone numbers, 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my talk on AIDS, the covert plan and population control, the covert agenda. And then please pray for America. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies.
Show. It is Monday, 17 June 2013. You're in the right place. Oh my. Uptick in the war with Syria. If you haven't heard about it, we'll be talking about it. Uptick in the war with Syria. No telling what's going on. It's looking like we got ourselves a war that was started maybe 2 years ago, according to some British supporters. And the Iranians had their presidential election. Everything went well, surprisingly, for backward countries that we think are just on the verge of destroying each other. They seem to have fairer elections than we do. North Korea proposes high-level talks with the United States. And Turkish police arrest 500. They're still going at it strong. Now, here's a shocker for you. The people in Hong Kong are protesting NSA surveillance. I kid you not. Hey, here's a concept. What about the United States people protesting the NSA surveillance? They're too busy watching the Emmys or whatever those things were on television last night.